Hello and thank you for tuning in. We're excited to share a powerful and transformative message with you, brought to you by the Transformers Global Leadership Center. Our vision is focused on raising a new generation of Christian leaders who are called to bring about personal, national, and global transformation. Whether you're looking to deepen your faith, grow as a leader, or make an impact in your community, this message is designed to inspire and equip you to fulfill God's calling on your life. And here's the best part. You can download and listen to all our messages online. Simply visit www.transformersglobal.org and gain access to this life-changing content. You'll find practical insights and spiritual guidance that can help you step into your God-given purpose. Thank you for being part of this movement. Together, we can make a difference in the world. We look forward to walking this path with you.
Once again, I want to welcome you to today's conversation on Transformers Global. Thank you for coming, and I hope it has been impactful for you since we started. This year, we started a conversation on key mistakes people make when starting a new year and how we can avoid and what we can do to make the best of our year, okay? And of our years, of course. If you joined us last week, we started looking at the fact that we view our year as something that is in the future that is going to happen to us, okay? But of course, we've come to realize that our future is as a result of our past. So whatever you sow as a seed, whatever you plant, whatever you put in the ground as a resource is what manifests in your life as success, okay? So today we are going to take it further. Some of the things I share with you might just sound simple. It might just sound like an ordinary, concept. I know, of course, that is my goal. My goal each time I want to have any form of conversation is to ask myself, how do I break this thing into the most simplest form in such a way that even if I'm talking to a child about this, the little child will be able to understand what I'm talking about. That has always been my passion each time we come. So I don't want you to take light of the simplicity of our conversation. What I'm sharing with you is an essential part of your life. It's the most important ingredient of your life. Whatever you are trying to do, whatever you are trying to build, some of the things I'm sharing with you is very critical. Let me start with a story. Within the week, after last week's session, I was speaking with someone who is also part of our platform. We are talking, and then the person mentioned to me how in 2024, that's 2023, prior to 2024, she was listening to a man of God that said that 2024 is going to be a very bad year, that people should brace up, people should prepare, that it's going to be a difficult year, there's going to be a lot of changes, there's going to be a lot of challenges, and people should be much prepared for that, okay? And then she was telling me that, looking back to 2024, now that she's in 2025, that somewhere, somehow, of course, why she remembered that particular event is because she believed in that conversation. She believed that, okay? And in the course of discussing that, I wanted to ask her, okay, so if 2024 is going to be a very bad year, okay? Of course, not everybody had a bad year. So what was the marker? What differentiates who has the bad year and who has the good year? So if there is a prophecy, for instance, that 2025 is going to be a bad year, so what is the differentiator? If 2025 is going to be a good year, and some people are going to have 2025 as a good year, or some people are going to have 2025 as a bad year, so what is the marker? What is the differentiator? So who decides? Is it the prophecy that decides? Is it God that decides? What exactly decides whether people are going to have a good year or a bad year? Okay. And I asked the person I was having the conversation. I said, okay, the pastor you mentioned that gave the prophecy, did the pastor have a bad year? Was there a bad year? Did the income of their ministry reduce? Did they buy less car? Did they move out of their house? Was it really difficult for them? So who decides who the prophecy is going to affect, okay? Is it the pastor? Is it God? Is it who? How? So if this year is going to be a good year, who is going to make that decision? There's a prophecy. Maybe you went to church or you went to a prayer and they said, okay, this year after fasting is going to be a great year. Okay, so what decides who has a great year and who has a bad year? Okay, so you see that even the person who also made the prophecy did not have a bad year. So what I'm concerned about is, what did they do differently? Is it that God loves them more? Is it that there is something unique about their life to make them to have a good year and others to have a bad year? Okay, so part of that is what I'm going to demystify for you today. I'm trusting God that this conversation is going to open your eyes to, you know, some certain dynamics of what controls life. Okay, it is not prophecy, it is not a religion or spirituality to the much that you think about it. You know, just give me time. I feel that sometimes 1 hour is not enough, but we'll see how we are going to be doing it. Wherever we stop, I'm happy to stop, then we'll pick up next week. Okay, but the concept of the impact that spirituality plays in our life is most times not correctly explained. So sometimes the way we approach it is wrong, and that is why it doesn't benefit most of us. Okay, I'm going to share something that happened to me. You know, I had some certain, you know, challenges in my life, and I kind of sought out the face of God, and I was praying, you know, speaking to God that I wanted, you know, breakthrough in certain areas of my life. Okay, and you know, one of the things that shocked me was I was praying, and sometimes whenever God speaks to me, I understand it. Whenever I get an understanding from my spirit, I just know it is God. Maybe subsequently we are going to look at the dimensions of God and how to get spiritual information. In fact, we are already in it. Okay, but that day I just heard in my spirit that even if I bring all the men of God in the whole world and they lay hands on me and pray, that my life is not going to change. Okay, there's a quote that even in my office in Enugu, you see it hanging on the wall. That was the day I got that quote. That nothing changes outside of you until things change inside of you. Okay, so your success is inside out, not outside in. So most of the things you are trying to control outside of you is as a result of your state, it's as a result of what is going inside of you. Okay, so if I don't allow myself to experience change inside, then what will happen is that my external state will not improve in quality. Okay, so any prayer, in a nutshell, any prayer that didn't change you, okay, so any form of prayer you are doing that does not change you when you are done didn't help you much. Okay, and that is why sometimes we have some form of immediate success as a result of spiritual breakthrough. We call it breakthrough. Okay, something just happens. It can be healing, it can be success, it can be job, it can be marriage. There's a force of spirituality that acts upon your life, and there's a massive breakthrough. But what you now realize is that over time, it is not sustained. The same marriage that God gave breakthrough for got broken over time. The same business that God gave breakthrough to start closes over time. The same relationship or whatever that you believe that the power of divinity orchestrated in your life, most times you see it is not sustained, because life is not designed to run on miracles. Life is not designed to run on chances. There are principles that control life. And if you don't understand those principles, your life will always fall back to the state, the original state of whatever capacity that you have built inside of you. Okay? So there was a time I sat down, you know, and God was helping me to review my life, and the Holy Spirit was pointing out certain opportunities I mismanaged, certain opportunities I didn't take full advantage of in my life that could have fetched me millions, that could have given me, you know, so much influence, you know. And God was saying that I actually brought you into this, but you gave it away because you lacked character, you had limiting beliefs, and you had a lot of negative, you know, self ideas that crippled your success and ensured failure. Okay, so the events of your life are linked to your inner state. The events of your life are linked to your inner state. And that is why the core of spirituality is the transformation that happens inside you, not the religious activities, not the form, not like you are going to church or that you are praying or that, you know, unless something is transfigured inside of you, there is no external quality. There is no improvement externally. Okay, so success is not looking for the opportunity. It is production. It is production. Okay, I remember when my spirit, you know, kept on saying this to me, that it is production. It's not about where you go to. It is not about the things you are looking for. It's not about getting a job. There's a production that has to happen inside you. Something that comes from you that offers solution to the world, and that is how you gain success and influence. Okay, so your success is not outside you, but inside you. So through creative thinking, through your inner state, what you are actually doing is that you are molding your destiny into being. You are molding your destiny into life. Okay, so the quality, I want to emphasize again, it's important to write this thing down. The quality of a person's external life depends on the quality of their internal thoughts, of their internal processing, of their internal states of being. Let me give you an instance. There was a time in my life I realized that whenever I start a project or whenever I start something, there's a way I start having compulsive thoughts of giving up or quitting or dropping. Okay. And when I look back in my life, there are a lot of things out of that compulsive and limiting self-thoughts that I was dropping that actually was a gold mine if I was to persist on it, and I have built it over years. Okay, so you see that the opportunity was good, the timing was right, but because I had certain self-limiting beliefs, it was affecting me making the commitment, putting the extra effort required to establish success. Okay, so your thoughts, the state of your being, your mindset, your personality, the way you imagine things go a long way to forming who you are. So let me now say this. The power and purpose of prayer is ultimately to fix you, give you clarity, give you vision, give you direction, help to build your capacity, you know, in such a way that you can be able to, you know, make productivity out of life. Okay? So what am I trying to say? If there is no plan to change in your state of being, there won't be much change in your external life. Yeah, thank God for a good year. Thank God for prophecies. This year is going to be a good year. I believe I received a lot of prophecies on my life that this is going to be a prosperous year. I prayed with my family. I prayed with my leaders. You know, we are continuing to pray into the new year and all that. But I have a good news for you. I think it's a good news. Nothing will change in your external life until something changes in your internal state. It is the quality of the internal state of your life that determines your overall outcome in life. Not your prayer, not prophecies, not the activities of religion. It is the quality of your inner state. And that is why it is crucial that the things you should prioritize as you enter a year is, how am I going to change? First, not how am I going to do things differently, but how am I going to change internally? How am I going to change in my processing, in my mindset, the way I see things, the way I imagine, the way I get involved in, how do I change my internal processing? If it doesn't change, what happens is that your life will always come to meet you at that point where something is wrong, and it will draw you to meet whatever internal state that you have. So that is why sometimes you see people, they have opportunities, they have overwhelming, you know, things that, you know, helps them to gain some form of success, but eventually it plateaus. Life will always come down to the level of who you are inside of you. Life will always come down to the level of who you are inside of you. Okay? And that was why I mentioned something last week. I just hope the media team is going to get us that audio. And that is why I mentioned that your nurture, your tradition, your culture, your DNA, even where you come from, has gone a long way to affect your mental processing. The way you think is a lot about your nurture. The way you do things is a lot about where you come from, your environment, your so if there is no active step on your part to break out and change the code and change the formation of whatever you find yourself, you are just going to reproduce life naturally that way. You are just like a mango tree planted. So if you decide that you don't want to be a mango tree, that means there is a reconfiguration of your seed. Your seed has to be altered. The way we have the genetically modified seeds, okay? You have to find a way to modify your internal creation in such a way that it aligns with the real you. So now it brings me to the next powerful point I want to share with you. So what is your real you? What is your you? So when I said to genetically modify your internal seed, okay, who you are, let's quickly look at, I'm going to read maybe two scriptures for you. Let's quickly look at Psalm 82 verse 6. I'm going to read for you. Psalm 82 verse 6 says, you are God's. You are all children of the Most High. Okay, I'm just going to stop there. Psalm 82 verse 6, it said that you are God's. You are all children of the Most High. Okay, this is a whole new powerful concept. Okay, some of you have already heard this, some of you already know this, but how does it change your self-concept? How does it affect who you are? How does it change the way you do things? Okay, first of all, you have to see yourself that you are a God. Okay, yes, the Bible writes it in a small g. It means that we are offsprings of God. It means that if God gave birth to us, it means that there is something about the nature of God, there's something about the life of God that has been transmuted into us, that has been reproduced inside us. So it means that whatever is the way that God does things is what I'm expected to do. So the same way, you remember last week I told you about nurture. I was preparing you for today's conversation, okay? So when you look at your parents, you see that you look alike. When you look at your great-grandparents, you see that you look alike. Sometimes the looking alike is very, very, very astounding. I gave an example the other day, and I said that when I was in my early years, before I went into the university, just after my secondary school, I had an accident, okay? My neck bone, my C6 cervical vertebrae was shifted, and I had to be taken into operation for, some surgical correction. So they had to do traction on my head. You know, they fixed like a metal on my head to pull my head backwards so that my neck bone will fall into place. Okay, so that was what, traction was. The extraction of the leg and my own was on the head. So after that operation, it left a mark on my head, two sides of my hair. It left a mark on my head. The other one, hair has grown. The other one is still open. Okay, so you can literally see there's a mark, on my head, that, tells you that it wasn't like that when I was giving birth. It was after the operation, hair stopped growing in that particular part of my head. So what I now realize that when I gave birth to my first son, he had that mark in that same spot on his head, and there was no hair. Now, usually what happens is that in the past, they will say, that is reincarnation, that I've come back to life. Assuming maybe I died before they gave birth to him, what will happen is that they will say, Nonso has come back to life. They will say that you have come back again. That's what some people, it's one of the ways people use to prove reincarnation. Okay, but you see, I'm alive, he's carrying it to show that there is a DNA, he's an extension of me, he's my produce. So that is why you see his mannerism. The other day he was talking and somebody said, hi, this your boy is talking like you. So you see, his mannerism has already been encoded inside him. And that is why I keep saying that the outcome of your lives for some of you has already been encoded. The type of family you are coming from, the kind of level of education they have, has already sometimes placed a limit on your life. Unless you take an intentional step to recode, which is possible. You have to be forceful about rewiring your life so that whatever you saw in the previous generation that you don't like, you can remold your life into something different. And the reason that you can be able to do that is because you are a God, you are a creator. You are a creator being, you are a creator man, you are a creator God in human flesh. So how would God approach a year? Let's say, for instance, that God entered 2025. So let's assume there's a time in heaven and God entered 2025. How will he approach life? How will he do things differently? What is he going to do? If you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning, the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay, so you see the state of God's life when he was on earth, when he came down to the earth to examine the earth. He said that there was nothing moving, there was darkness everywhere, there was nothing moving, the waters covered the lands, everything, there was deadness. Okay, somebody here, for instance, today, you are entering a new year. And when you look around your life, it looks like there's deadness. Okay, so probably you don't have job, probably in your bank account, you only have maybe 1,000 naira or 5,000 naira. You don't even know what you're going to eat tomorrow. No car, no job. You're not married yet, or probably you are married with a struggling family. You know, just imagine, the Bible said that the earth was void and without form. It means there was no form of life. Nothing was moving. You just look into your life right now and then you see that nothing is moving. It's like you look on your left, right, center, there is no form of progress, nothing. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the deep. Okay? And after the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the deep, God said. Now, because we don't have time, you discover that everything that started coming into the earth, the land, the fishes, everything that you saw that came into being came out of God. They were existing in God. It was his internal ideas. It was his quality state. It was his internal state. It was his imagination. Those were the things that were coming out of him. And that is what we call creation. Okay? That is what we call seeds. You have to bring something out of you in order to make your environment what it's supposed to be. Okay? Something has to come out of you. You are a creator person. And that is why most times we have not explained faith very well. You know, a popular scripture is, you go to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 verse 1. If you read Hebrews, let me quickly read it for you. He said, Hebrews 11 verse 1, he said, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. Verse 3, he said, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So you see that it was not, so God did not make success based on what you can see. It was made by based on what you cannot see. What are those things that you cannot see? Things that exist inside of him. As an individual, there are things that are existing inside of you. As a God, there are things that are existing inside of you. Most of you don't know because you have not refined yourself to a great extent so that you'll be able to know what those things are. Okay, so you are like a crude oil. You don't know there's a kerosene. You don't know that, you know, there's a lot of things that can come out of that crude. You are unrefined. So the reason why you look at your state, it looks dead, is simply because your state is unrefined. You are unregenerated. The God in you has not been made clear to you. So when you look at yourself, you just look at your man, you just see yourself like an animal. You just exist. And when you are done existing, you die. Because you don't understand that the right way of viewing yourself is that you're a creator person. You're a creative person. There's something inside of you that you need to bring out in order to produce success. The challenge, let me tell you the challenge we have in Africa. The challenge we have in Africa is that our educational system, I remember when I was in the university, I remember when some of these things started coming alive in my heart. You know, I went to look at education. The word education is taken from a Latin word called educato, you know, something like that. I can't really remember very well. It's not even in my notes. I'm just trying to remember what I read so many years ago. And the summary of what I want to say is that the word educate means to draw out. That word edu is to draw. Then kato is out, to draw out. There was a seminar I did, you know, so many years ago, about 17 years ago, when I taught the principles of education. The word education is to draw out. So it means that the essence of schooling, the essence of going to school, is that something will be drawn out of you. That is why you have projects. The essence of projects when you go to school is so that you can now sit down and look at what you have been taught all these years, and then you'll be able to create something out of it. You create something, you develop it, then you bring it into marketplace, you sell it, it brings prosperity. So you grow up in a system that doesn't train you to draw out. You grow up in a family, in a culture, in tradition that doesn't train you to draw out. You are consistently dependent on the external, your external life, your external environment for you to be successful. And that is what has shaped many of our thinking over years. So instead of looking inward to create success, we are always looking at external opportunities to make us who we want to be. To even make it worse, because we came from a foundation of paganism that depends on prophecy, the gods doing this for us and the gods doing that for us, we also went into the Christian religion with that mindset where we are perpetually, you know, waking up every day, hoping and waiting that somewhere God will do something. I remember one of my favorite sticker when I was going out is, "My miracle is on the way." You know, people put it on the car. So you wake up in the morning, your miracle will find you somewhere. There is nothing like that. There's nothing. Let me even tell you that people who find miracle has already created it in their internal state. There's an expectation for that. When I was in the university, I went to, is it OAU? Yeah. Obafemi Awolowo University. Yes. Okay. I was SUG president. I had an opportunity. I was invited for an interview by Procter & Gamble, P&G. So I went to OAU. I didn't know anybody, you know, it's just me. Then I was that daring. Okay. Packed my bags, went to OAU, came to the gate, asked them, "Where is the SUG office?" I went to the SUG office, introduced myself, that I'm SUG president, SU, gave them my ID card. And that's how they called a young man and told the young man to, you know, take me in. And I slept in the young man's room, you know, within the school. And in the morning, he took me to where I'm writing the exam. And on our way back, he picked money on the floor. I said, you just pick money like that. He said, you know, he spoke it in pidgin language. He just told me, that this is how he succeeds most times, so that he picks money every day. I said, how? He said, most times when he's going, he's looking on the floor, that he's always picking money. You know, what somebody maybe will talk about chance. But I think that his premeditation in his heart over time has created the consciousness and the external reality of whatever he's picking on the floor manifesting. What I'm trying to say in a nutshell is that some of the things you think that happened as luck, most of the things you think is luck, when you drill down some of those people, like, it's very interesting when I meet successful people and they will tell you things like they've always known that they are going to be successful. And they start telling me their stories when they were small, how they used to do this one. And sometimes they will be saying it, and there's that thing that, thank God I'm successful, but it looks like they've always imagined themselves successful. They've always imagined themselves doing big things. They've always imagined themselves running business. I find out very common in most successful people I talk to. I find it very, very common. So you see that whatever miracle that later happened in their life is as a result of their internal state. So whatever externally that happened had to happen to merge or to come to in alignment with whatever is in their internal state. Powerful. Powerful, powerful. Sometimes when I'm thinking about things I'm sharing with you, not even preparing about it, sometimes, you know, last year, a few years ago, when I'm swallowed in these thoughts and I begin to imagine the possibilities, that is what drives some of the things I do. It's not really that I'm confident. It's not really that I believe so much in myself. But this idea and the concept of God always makes me to attempt the impossible. You now know, for the past 5 years, if you have followed me consistently on my status, you always see I have the same status every new year. This year, do great things, attempt the impossible. I got that based on the revelation that if there is something godly about me, if there is something God kind about me, then I should wake up every new year looking for something impossible within my capacity. Not impossible in terms of it can be very, very easy for somebody else to do, but for me, something that will add a new significant level of impossibility to my life, I have to find it and I have to attempt it. Even if I fail at doing it, I have to attempt it. How do you work on your self-concept? There's a lot in my heart to say, but if I don't do this, I would have robbed you of this meeting. So how do you work on your self-concept? First, number one, take a different approach towards spirituality. Please listen to me carefully. Take a different approach towards spirituality. Okay? Whatever level of spirituality you are practicing, I assume we are all Christians. So whatever level of Christianity that you are practicing that is not changing you is probably not benefiting you. If spirituality isn't changing you, it is possibly not benefiting you. Let me say it again. If your spirituality isn't changing you, it is possibly, probably, mostly not benefiting you. And that is why you hear people a lot of time, they will tell you that, I gave my life to Christ. I've been going to church. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I've been paying tithe. I've been serving. I sing in the choir. I do this. I do that. I do that. They give you a long list of all the things that they have been doing. Okay? And then now they have given up. They have given up on God. They have given up on Christians. They have given up on life. Why? Because I've done all these things, but how come my life is not changing? So you see, it is not those activities that changes you. It is what happens inside you that improves the quality of your external life. And that is why you need to understand the concept. When Jesus is preaching a message and he says, repent. Repent is talking about change. Reconfigure yourself. Remodify your name. Remodify your traditions. Remodify your culture. You know, move away from, yes, that's how we do it. Move away from, this is how I am. You can be hardworking and there are things that you are not doing that you don't know that you are supposed to do that can make it impossible for you to achieve your next level of success. And that is why I said that, you know, you have to change. So why I mentioned it was that I left the office today telling myself that, okay, I have to change. I don't talk much as much I should do. A lot of people, I go in conversations, people tell me, let's start video. Let's do Facebook Live. I don't want to do those things. When I do it, I feel like, it's good. I should do it more. But then when I regain myself again, I say, no, I'm not doing any video. I'm not doing anything. Just leave me here all by myself. And I was talking to myself today, but you have to change. You have to change. You have to force yourself to change. Yes, that might be who you are, but you have to force yourself to change that aspect of your life so that you can take advantage of the opportunities that God is bringing before you. Any spirituality that doesn't change you is not benefiting you. That is probably why you are giving up. You know, most times when I think about the beauty of Christianity and how it's changing my life and it's changing the world, I wonder why people struggle with it. I'm like, but I then realize that it's because we are doing it wrongly. So the first one I mentioned to you because of time is take a different approach towards your spirituality. If it's not changing you, it's probably not benefiting you. Okay, so you can't eat your cake and have it. Of course, why you don't have success is because of how you are. I've explained it. So if you approach God, the intention is to change you so that your internal state will improve in such a way that your external state will match up to what you see internally. Second point, spend time with God to learn his nature and character. So the goal of reading the Bible, you know, this is a new year. People are ticking off. They are ticking off, okay, I want to read the Bible in a year. I want to do this one in a year. I want to fast 80 days in a year. No, awesome, beautiful, okay? But see how the Bible benefits you. As you go through those your challenge for the year, you have to pick out principles. Look for things about God's nature. Look for things about God's character. Remember, you are a God, but you are a God who is in amnesia. You are a God who is ignorant, so you don't know. So the essence of engaging in spirituality is so that it will begin to dawn on you. Oh, okay, this is possible. So Moses did this. Joshua did this. Jesus Christ did this. So as a God, I'm also supposed to do this. Okay, how did they do it? What did they do? What were they thinking about that got them to do it? So the point is, take an investigative approach. There are sometimes I read some portion of the scripture. When I'm done, I go back again. I feel like I've not understood the concept. Sometimes I try to find out, why was this thing written? Why was Paul saying this? What happened? Then sometimes I go online, I try to do research. I try to find out certain things about the culture or the tradition of the people that existed in that particular time, so that I can find out, why is he really saying this the way he's saying it? What is the impact? So the idea is that you have to find principles. You have to look for ideas. You have to look for concepts that reveal to you who you are, that reveal to you how you are supposed to be doing things. So when you find those things, what happens is that it moves you. The second point is, spend time with God to learn nature and character. Okay, I think I was moving so much ahead of myself. First one, take a different approach to your spirituality. If it's not changing you, it probably isn't benefiting you. The second one, spend time with God to learn his nature and character. Okay. The third one is, observe and note down principles. I used to show my children, you know, every day when I read the scripture, there's something I need to write down in the paper. If not, I didn't read anything. Sometimes I will be reading and I will pause. Let me give you an instance. I'm currently studying numbers. I just recently, I don't know how it happened, but God opened my heart to rediscover the Old Testament scriptures. Okay? By the time I finished Isaiah, I was like asking myself, why was I struggling all these years to read Isaiah? Then I'm reading my numbers and it is mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing. I'm like wondering. It looks like this is the very first time I'm looking at numbers. And I'm looking at principles. I'm drawing out. Sometimes I call my wife. One of the things that was very outstanding for me, even this morning I was meditating on it, is how the children of Israelites, we see the acts of God. We see the Red Sea depart. And in any slightest thing, they are already agitated. That is the power of an unrenewed mind. We'll get to that sometime in the future. The power of an unrenewed mind is that no matter what happens externally, it doesn't change who you are. So whenever you have a problem, you fall back to your default. I mean, you saw what God did in Egypt. You saw like practically everything that happened in Egypt. And then you came to Canaan and you call yourself a grasshopper. You say, what we saw, they are giants. And then I began to ask myself, in what way have I been doing things like the children of Israelites? And you find out that I am actually like that. You don't think you are like that, but when you sit down and you look at things that God has done for you, there are mind-blowing things that God has done for me. And I realize how maybe I meet a new challenge, then I'm bothered again. Then I'm doubting. Then I'm giving up. I might not be complaining, but you see, each time you doubt, each time your self-limiting beliefs start throwing doubts about what you can do and what you are not doing, what you are doing is that you are saying, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to my former life. I want to go back to the way things used to be. And I began to look at my life, to look at different areas where I have not believed God wholeheartedly, looking back to see most powerful things God has done for me. Even in the past 1 year, it has been so awesome. It has been so powerful. Okay? But you see, you observe and note down principles. You observe and note down principles. Then the fourth one is, you turn those principles into daily habits. Okay? So you observe and note down principles. We are still going to break this in further down. And then you turn those principles into daily habits. So for instance, if you read in your Bible that Jesus is constantly seeking the face of God, and that was the reason why he had direction, he had clarity. Okay? So this is powerful, this is important. Then turn it into daily habit. Make it a daily habit. Yeah, sometimes I'm working on a plan. I'm working on a plan. So I just want to show you how God does those things. So when I say that God has done a lot of powerful things in my life, this is how it is. I'm working on a plan, working on a plan. And I'm praying, I'm working on a plan. Sometimes I might want to do that plan, and the way I'm thinking or going about it is wrong because of my self-limiting beliefs. The way I'm going about it is wrong. And God will say, no, don't do it that way. Do it the other way. So what happens is that I now do it and I discover, oh, wow. So what happens is that he is leading me out. I said this thing last year. I said this last year. Let me repeat it again. Any spirituality that does not reveal more of you to you is probably not benefiting you. He brought the animals to Adam. He said, Adam, so what will you call it? What will you name it? They are not just talking about naming goats or cow or elephant. That's not the concept. He was leading Adam out. He was, that education is leading what is inside him out so that he can be visible. Okay? So turn those things into habits. Then the fifth one is practice those things until it becomes your life. So observe those qualities of God. Why are you observing those qualities of God? Because he explains yourself to you. So if God draws out from himself, he expects you to draw out from yourself. When you nurture children, when you train them, when you send them to school, the whole purpose is to draw out. I am constantly having such conversations with my children, constantly trying to find out, so what do you think about this? How do you see this? What can you make out of this? We just started PowerShift Fellowship and we created some projects, you know, within PowerShift. And sometimes you will see the students, they want to, you know, ask questions. So how do we do this? I said, no, think about it first. Work on it first. The goal is to draw out. My job is not to give you what you need to do. Because if I'm giving you, I'm already limiting you. Because I'm going to give you what I know. And what I know might not be the best outcome concerning that situation. So if you are interested in just learning what someone else knows and then you stop there, you are stopping your own growth, your own leadership, your own manifestation. So I said, no, look at this, dream first. Look at it, tell me what you think. He said, but what about this? We'll have this challenge. I said, no, it's fine. You have that challenge. So go and think about that challenge. Come up with something. Let me see how you are processing it. It is all important. We don't have a system that draws us out. And that is where the challenge is. This is how I summarize. Write these four key points down, please. I know my time is up, but note down these four key points. The difference between two individuals is not the quality of their external life, but the quality of their ideas, personality, and internal states. So when you look at someone, don't say that person is better than you because of what they have externally. You might be right, okay? Because their better external quality is as a result of their internal quality. But don't base your comparison based on the external. That's what I'm trying to say. Understand that it is about the quality of your ideas. It's about the quality of your personality. And it's about your internal states. Okay? The second thing I want you to write down is, to alter anything externally, you have to first alter it internally. So anything you want to change externally, you have to alter it first internally. Whatever result, whatever change, whatever success you want to see in 2025, it has to begin by you altering what you have inside of you. If not, you are just going to have it like every other normal year. If you had bad relationships last year, you have to go back and tell yourself, what do I have to alter inside of me in order to have better relationships? If your marriage is struggling, if there are different aspects of your life, there are a lot of things you have to alter inside of you to get it right. The third one I want you to write down. Your year is not outside of you. Your year is not ahead of you. Your year is already inside of you. It is what you bring out of yourself into the year that determines what your year becomes. It is not prophecy. I'm sorry to announce that to you, but the prophecy that this is going to be a great year for you is not what will make it a great year. If you do something the same way over time and it's not working, it's time to ask yourself a question. You had prophecy last year. What happened? You had 2 years ago. You've had it for the past 5 years of your life. What has changed? Because like God, you have to give life to the year. You have to bring it out. That is why you have to set goals. You have to set quality goals. And I said that you set quality goals, not by just writing down what you want to do. You first of all set lifetime goal, not just a short-term goal. Set lifetime goal, and then those short-term goals should now come from your life goal. People enter the year by setting goals. I said, no, don't do that. Set life goal, and then let each year be an assessment, an iteration of whatever that you have established as your life core goal and life core purpose. And the last one I'm going to say is, whatever your state inside is what you are going to experience this year. It is not controlled by external events, but you are responsible for your life. You are responsible for your life. If God is responsible for your life, why is he going to judge you about your life? Why is there judgment? What do you think judgment is? Judgment is that I give you something, and then when you come back, I'm going to assess it. So stop blaming God. Stop blaming your environment. Stop blaming your president. You say economy is harsh. Yes, but it's not harsh for everybody. So those ones, it's not harsh for what are they doing differently? Last year, we had a conversation, and I said that even in times of bad economy, the people who control production, they don't have bad economy. The people who control production, you always see them. They are always growing. If you say a bag of tomato is what's it called? Say it's 25,000. It has increased from 25,000 to 60,000. The person who has the bag of tomato will say, bring it to market and sell. The one who is complaining is the one who is buying. So grow your life to the extent that whatever that is happening outside of you should measure with what is inside of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Please do follow us on our social media handles on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Transformers Global LC, on Twitter X at TGlobalLC.